Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you here this afternoon. Enjoyed this session very much. I'd like to talk about plant populations as a key to controlling corn silage quality. Our demand for feed in New Mexico is pretty high these days. We have a lot of dairy. They've come in over the last 20 years, increasing that herd size, and the number of cows up surpassed 350,000 cows recently, and it's kind of stabilizing in that range. If you encompass western Texas as well as eastern New Mexico, we're looking at over 425,000 cows that exist on various, actually kind of a few number of dairies, isn't it, compared to other states, but averaging a herd size of 2,000 head, and they're going through quite a bit of dry matter per year, per day, actually. Per day, they got to feed, got to eat. So, of course, to go with that has been a rise in the number of acres of silage that's being grown. Very popular feed form, and kind of fluctuates a little bit as we experiment with different grasses to try to fill that need of the dairies. But it comes down to, a lot of times, just the functionality of consistency. There's a market there, and they're paying maybe $45 a ton for it. It's less than some of the other forages that are out there, like for sorghum sedan grasses as well as the alfalfa, but it is a consistent market for them. Plus, corn silage is a great crop for our dairymen. It is a feed, as Dr. St. Pierre had said back at Ohio State University, that corn silage contains substantially more energy than either grass or silage. So this is a very key component to the dairy industry for New Mexico. We'd like to think that we're doing good at trying to get the word across about increasing yields, and so the ag statistics reflects some increase in there. You don't see a whole lot of information from prior years because it's just a number that wasn't tracked very much. You know, you're not talking about a whole lot of acres, and it was really never a significant impact to the corn industry. But now we have a lot of dairymen that are farming as well, not just contracting it out with other farmers, but they're trying to get that yield up there. Okay, a couple tons might make a difference in their bottom line. Who knows? But they're asking, can I get away with plants? What's going to be the cost of putting more seeds per acre versus getting that final tonnage out? Some visits to the farms have yielded, we see some 86,000 plants per acre, per hectare. That's quite a bit more than what our university is recommending. Most of our agronomists are between the 54 and 66,000 plants per hectare range, okay? So why is that? What's the difference? Well, is there misinformation out there? Are we on the wrong page? Is there actual need for more tonnage? Is that why we're going up in plant population? Are we basing it on neighbors' experiences? Perhaps this morning's talk kind of alluded to some of that. That a lot of the information that they get does come from our neighbors or on their own demonstrations on their own farm. Do we not have enough consultants out there, or is that what they're promoting? Just a lack of good local information. Maybe we need more studies out there to evaluate that. Or, you know, maybe we are behind the times. A lot of folks have said that in New Mexico, maybe we are 20 years behind on some things, but we do try to bring folks up to speed. Well, bottom line then, as an extension agronomist, extension soil scientist, we want to know, well, what kind of a compelling information can we share with our clients to see if we could make a difference in their bottom line? So how much more yield is a typical question that we might get from a farmer. How does high density affect that silage quality? What's its impact going to be to the dairyman when it comes to feeding it? Do hybrids do a better job at higher populations than other varieties? And is more nitrogen needed when we go up to a higher population, as well as what about row spacing? Great discussions. Going to be some interesting topics coming up soon, I'm sure, around our agronomy table at NMSU. And finally, what is more water needed? Okay, water still runs the state of New Mexico, very important commodity. We've got to be careful how we use it. I'd like to just focus on those four items that are bolded there. So I'm going to use, you know, for farmers, for you guys today, look at literature and local field conditions, field trials, and going to lean a little bit on Cox and Cherney's work from 2001, 9 years ago or so. Some research that we did at the Ag Science Center in Artesia. We looked at three replications at three plant densities. These are very high densities. I'm trying to show, demonstrate, okay, you get up too high, this is kind of the response you're going to get to. Some of the previous studies had shown you're still kind of a climbing number, so we're going to take a look at that and look closer. I'm going to show you 2009 data and some information from the Ag Science Center. Clovis, a little further up, closer to that big dairy center on the east side of the state. So how much more yield? Well, from back east, a lot of our farmers aren't going to really accept New York data, but kind of get some principles across to them. That planting rates between 86,500 and 123,000 seeds per hectare did not really, the maximum that they got away with, 116,000 plants to get their maximum dry matter. But only about, that's only about a 3.7% gain in yield for them. So the bottom line for to ask the farmers is, okay, is that still, does that extra dry matter pay for the cost of that seed, that extra seed that you have to put out? For our Artesia trials, we're pushing, you know, 90 to 138,000 plants per hectare. And yes, we had a lot more total dry matter at that very high rate, you know, from 114 to 138,000 plants. But at that 90,000 plant per hectare rate, that's where we get most of it coming from the grain. Well, not most, but 43%. If we looked at the percent as a dry matter of the ear, so 43, compare that against the 138,000, where we're just barely exceeding 30% of that total weight, dry matter weight, is coming from the ear. Not much. Of course, that's going to translate. You know, you're walking through the field, you can see that there's going to, you're going to get a lot more grain, of course, on that higher fraction of ear. And all that we're doing at that higher rate then is getting more stover, less grain. And these are not very large ears, even at the 90,000 plants. That's only about 15 centimeters long. Usually expect a little bit longer than that. But so we're seeing a lot of ears at that 138,000, but they're really short and just not contributing any grain to the whole mix. Well, then how does that affect feed value? So I want to look at net energy for lactation as well as NDF and the digestibility of that neutral detergent fiber as well as milk per ton. These are some of the key things that they'll look at from a forage quality point of view. So when we got the analyses from the, this is using University of Wisconsin's 2006 milk program, and we see that you get the best net energy for lactation from that lower density. Low, meaning 90,000, is still a pretty high rate. But still, a lot better net energy for lactation there compared to that higher rate. Also, we're looking at the neutral detergent fiber content. The higher the population, that higher that fiber value is, and that can lead to worse conditions for good milk production quantities. And with the digestible portion of it, still the same story, just not quite as big a difference between the 90 and 114,000 plants. Bottom line for the dairyman, there's only so much corn salad you can force them to eat. So at that lower density, it's a good 100 kilograms of milk per megagram of silage fed difference, okay? So a little bit different and a little higher quality than coming from that lower density of 90,000. Feed value from other studies kind of show the same thing with net energy for lactation decreasing and NDF and ADF values going up as well. That could increase and that can have a negative effect on milk production. Dr. Valdez and others came across after looking at similar studies and said that there's actually a better chance of improving your milk yields outside of population just by always going with different types of hybrids. Looking at, you can change your milk production values and changes in production just by looking at different varieties. And it was reiterated at the Western Dairy Management Conference in 2008, again, several years later. But in corn silage production, from a dairyman's point of view, it's the right hybrid at the right place can significantly affect dairy farmers' bottom line. So it becomes very important then that we do have these trials looking at the availability of these different forages under the conditions in which they're being grown. Well, moving on to nitrogen, that's another input. We've got to make up for that somehow. So in Clovis, we're finding that it does depend upon water. It also depends upon your yield goal. But in Clovis, they've had a maximum about 508 millimeters of water that they could use for corn. And they saw no yield difference between three seeding rates when they put on either 220 or 280 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So makes you wonder if it's really worth, if they're not going to see a big difference, then why put on that extra nitrogen? It can be a significant input, as we saw several, a couple of years ago with those high prices. Nobody, however, you know, it's a real hard, tough sell when it comes to nitrogen when you can put out 200 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare and see corn that looks like this versus, okay, what's another 100 kilograms, okay? It looks much better. I feel better. It looks better. Does it have an ultimate role in milk produced? We'll see. Is more water needed? Our producers ask. Okay, if I'm going to go that higher population, do I really need more water? Well, at the Clovis Ag Science Center again, they have three populations from 55.6 all the way to 74,000 plants per hectare. And they had poor forage quality at that higher planting rate. Okay, so yes, it could indeed affect your soil silage quality. Now, we do believe that we need more work on that to actually get some better numbers to go with our irrigated conditions in the state. We do have some seeding rate recommendations, though, based on water availability, if based on your gallons of water that comes out of the pump. And if you're up there around 7.7 liters per minute per hectare, then you're going to go with a higher seeding rate. Higher volume of water coming out, a full soil moisture profile to start the crop out with, and you can go with those higher seeding rates. Otherwise, as you get down to, you know, 4.6 or just really equates to like less than 400 gallons a minute for a particular pivot, they're going to need to look at those lower seeding rates. So the bottom line for increasing plant density, you know, from literature and some of the studies that we're seeing, there's going to be a maximum. It does not really improve dry matter that much, but maybe that is an important point made this morning about 2 tons, that makes all the difference to me. Well, good. But then from the dairyman's point of view, is that still going to be a good quality feed that they need to get the milk? This is what they're paid on. And it certainly does not improve overall feed quality. It's kind of our consensus at the science centers and the agronomists in the state that we do need to be looking at more effects of on reduced inputs, whether it be water, seed, nitrogen. What can we get away with and still have the best yield with lower input costs? So rather than pushing that envelope upwards, we're trying to rein ourselves back in and see what's going on. So we're trying to paint a better picture for them, maybe get out to the coffee shop more often and visit with them more, find these YouTube avenues, maybe, I don't know, too many dairymen, a few of them are on Facebook and stuff like that, but getting it out there, getting that word spread to our community there in New Mexico is kind of important. So any questions? Yes, sir.
In Nebraska, we have quite a bit of stowage grains available, and so one of the things is if we did go to those higher seeding rates, we could actually blend the stowage grains with the energy content.
You can pay for the hauling costs to get it to where they are. You know, that's an option. They're blending things with them all the time, and it does take a good somebody on the dairy needs to be a good person for rations. If they're not constantly testing, if not evaluating their feed and making up the differences where there's deficiencies, it's going to be a shot in the dark. So hopefully, good nutritionists on board will find those makeup proteins and feeds that the dairies need. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.